Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today, I have a really, really interesting person, Baruch Amzel. Baruch, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, great.
That's good to hear. So I read this fascinating article in the forewords about you. It was called Hunting the Graveyards for America's Holiest Jews. Fascinating, fascinating article. And I was so intrigued, I just had to speak to you. So tell me, first of all, a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in this?
I always had an interest in Kibbutz Tzaddikim, mostly in Eretz Yisrael. I've been to Europe only once, but I always had this feeling, like, you know, always running to Kibbutz Tzaddikim. My wife jokes about it. She has always joked about it. And one day I was sitting in the office with a friend. His name is Dov Elias. We lived together in Queens. And he said, you know, the Chofetz Chaim Rebbetzin is buried here in Queens. I'm like, no way. No, it can't be. And right then and there, we left our office. He took us to the Jackie Robinson Parkway. Mount Judah Cemetery, there it is. Slowly I started digging, no pun intended, and I found other Rabbonim who were buried here, and I went to my Rebbe, the Kula Rebbe of Williamsburg. I told him what I found. He told me to put in a book. The more I started looking around, the more I started finding, he suggested, you know, it may be too big for a book. Why don't you put it on a website? So it's about 10 years later. I think I have 1,300 names now.
Really?
Another probably 1,000 still have to be posted.
No, I know that the website is called kevarim.com. Is that what it is?
Right, kevarim, kevarim.com.
Wait a second, so it's Kevarim of Tzaddikim. Is that what it's called? That's what the website is?
Right.
Okay, so Kevarim of Tzaddikim. And you could go on the website and you could find different names of people who passed away, who meet your criteria, and then you can find out where they are buried.
No, so the way it works is I look for names, United States, Canada, Mexico, anywhere along North America. I try to find out something about them, so this way I know I'm in the right direction. You know, the early history of this country, Reform, Orthodox, not such a clear distinction. It was very hard. A lot of the Rabbanim were from Germany. It was very hard to figure out where they stood, and if they, even if they always stood, you know, in our camp, if they stayed that way. So I try to put a little up, and then now I have a group of friends that do research, and we get more and more. So basically I put the name, the cemetery where it is, how to find it, and as many pictures as I can find, either of the person, of the kever, things like that. There is a search. You could search by cemetery, by city, by name. We're working on it to constantly update it. Right now, the search is by first name. There's an index. I'm working on an index by last name. The search has hundreds of different criteria that you can search by to really narrow things down.
Okay, so you go to, let's say, you go to Beth David Cemetery, and it'll tell you in Beth David Cemetery who are the quote-unquote Tzaddikim, Rabbonim, Rebbetzins who are buried there.
Yeah, that's a great cemetery because it's in Long Island, so it's not really, you know, that well known. And a lot of Rabbonim are buried there. Admirim, a lot of Tursky Rabbonim, Novominska Rebbe is buried there. Rav Henkin, who I think Rav Yaakov once said that he's going to help us greet Mashiach.
Mm-hmm.
Totally a forgotten Gadol.
Sure, of course. Rav Henkin was a Gadol in the early 1900s.
Name. When was the last time you heard his name mentioned by anybody my age? I mean,
you're right. 40. You're right. True, Rabbi Henkin was. It's true, Rabbi Henkin. But he was very, very well known. Ezra's Torah.
Back
right?
In the 70s, isn't it?
Yeah, wasn't it Ezra's Torah?
I don't think any of my friends ever heard his name. He's in the news now because sadly his great grandson was murdered.
Of course, in Eretz Yisrael, right.
Right.
So, okay, so you have this hobby. It's kind of a hobby, right? I guess we just spend a lot of hours doing it.
I don't make money on it. I don't get paid for it.
Right, you're in real estate,
I read. We also have a Kippel service. What?
I said you're in real estate, I read, right?
Yes.
So what were we just going to mention? We also have what?
We also have a Kippel service.
Fittle,
like 15, 20 names. Where I have volunteers, where you write a kittel and they deliver it to the kever.
Really? Interesting.
So now I have some of the Washington Heights Rabbanon, Rav Schwab, and so when the guy asked me, he goes, what is he going to do? He doesn't know to do the kittel. Like, what is a Yekesh Rav? no do the kvittel, and they told me, no, they're in the Olam Emes. They already met the chassidim, you know?
I got you. So they learned. So they learned from the chassidim.
Yeah, they teach them really fast.
Uh-huh. I got you. Maybe Rav Schwab taught some of the chassidim. Well, I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
But go either way.
Okay, so that's great. That's really, really great. And so it's kind of, in a way, you're almost solving a mystery sometimes. So let's say when it came to the kever of the Rebbetzin of the Chofetz Chaim. So first of all, why was she buried here? What happened that she was buried here?
So she was the Chofetz Chaim's second wife. She was much younger than him. He was lived in the 30s, right? So she was, like, let's say 10, 15 years younger than him. The war broke out. She escaped with the Mir to Shanghai. No, sorry, uh-huh. To Kobe, Japan.
Uh-huh.
From there, she had a relative in San Francisco who helped with visas. And as little Yiddishkeit as there was on the Lower East Side at the time, San Francisco was even worse. So she made her way to what was the epicenter of Yiddishkeit, which was the Lower East Side. Brownsville was already on its way out. The Bronx was still going strong, but slowly starting to fall apart. And that's where she settled. I met somebody who once met her and told me that she used to come to Davin three times a day with a minion. People used to give her kutluch and ask her to Davin. She does have grandchildren living in New York today.
Really? So when you go to... Now, where is her kever, by the way? Where is it?
It's in Mount Judah Cemetery.
Okay, that's on in Brooklyn, going to the
right,
Jackie Robinson.
Right, Queens, along the Jackie Robinson. Right.
So now there are a lot. That's another cemetery where there are a lot of very famous, right, people buried.
Those cemeteries probably have the most. Mount Judah has Rabbi Kamenetsky, Rav Shlomo Hyman, a bunch of rebbes, Rav Tom. Mount Judah. Then next door is Union Field, which has Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, RJJ, the first chief rabbi of New York.
Sure, of course.
And so on. I mean, those group of cemeteries I probably have the most. They're probably 700-800 names on my website alone.
Wow, unbelievable. Now, I understand you give tours also. Who do you give tours to?
People call. You have to give me a few days' notice, because obviously I just have to take off from work. I find most of the tours are like between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. You know, that area when people ask, you know, I guess people are off and El time people want tours to go to Davin. I'm open to give a tour to anybody. I don't charge for it. As a sense for my time, I ask that you come with more than one person, so this way I don't give two tours to one group, you know.
I hear you. How long does a tour last for, by the way?
It depends on my time. It depends, I see, on the interest. It depends if it's hot or cold. I try to hit 5-6 places, about an hour.
Very nice. That's really great. Now, I read also that you're now looking and finding people all over the country, like in different cities, right?
Right. So I have listed all across the country, from here to California, down to Florida, South Dakota, Atlanta, Savannah.
Really? See, I think what people don't realize is that
Texas.
If you travel sometimes and you go, let's say, even out west, sometimes in the 1800s, in the late 1800s, 1880, 1890, things like that, even the beginning 1900s, there were incredible rabbanim from Europe who came to these places, and they were lost. I mean, they had no idea what to do. They spoke Yiddish. The people were, it was an unbelievable place for them to come. But they sat and they learned all day. Some actually were Mechaber Sfarim, and they were Gedolei Torah, and there they were in the middle of who knows where.
So I'm going to give you two examples. The first one was T.H. Gudensky. He was Chaim Moshe's first cousin. They're in Omaha, Nebraska.
Really?
You can't even take a direct flight to Omaha, Nebraska from New York.
Right, I've been there. Wait a second. Who is that? What's the name you're talking about?
The name is Tzvi Hirsch Gudensky.
Yeah, right. Okay.
He was Chaim Moshe's cousin.
Yeah, yeah. They have a museum there. They have a museum or something like that. They actually have something about him in the museum.
Right. He wrote a number of Sfarim. He was lived in 1948. He has a simple matzeva, a floor stone. It says, "Appointed Marava going Sarah Torah of Tzvi Hirsch, Ben Rav Meir." Very simple.
Wow. Wow.
I don't even know if he has a Frumenikoch anymore. Or
really?
I totally have no idea.
And who was the second one? You said there was another one.
I'm just looking up quickly. In South Dakota, also you can't take a direct flight. And it's not even in Fargo. It's just it's on. I'm just waiting for it to come up. As give me 1 second. I'm just searching for it. So he probably answered. He probably answered an ad, you know, a Rav needed. They probably told him, like, you know, big Jewish community, and he probably went for it.
And who was this?
I'm just, it's just not coming up. Okay. We'll move on. I'll come back to
okay,
it.
Okay, we'll move on. Okay, that's good. Good. Okay, so this, it sounds really, really interesting. So are there any ones that were really particularly exciting to you that you really wanted to find and you found? Or could you tell us one or two interesting stories? I'm sure they must be fascinating.
Right, so I also, as a hobby, I collect svarim. So one of the first svarim on Ovis printed here in the United States was the Evan Yeshua from Rabbi Yeshua Falk. He was nifter in 1864. He came to New York. He made his rounds. And I know that he, towards the end of his life, he moved to Kirk, Iowa. And I found the newspaper that he was buried somewhere in New York. And I spent years looking for his kever. And together with a group of friends, we found it by accident. And it was just amazing. We went to a cemetery. A friend of mine was at a cemetery. He was looking at some other Rav. He like tripped. And when he looked up, there it was.
Wow. Now, once again, you don't know whether he even had any family anymore. You have no idea.
So now, like with the Jewish Gen and some of those other, there's some of those other websites that help you, you know, that track Jewish genealogy. You can find some of his offspring, but none of the Matzevas look like they were from. So here's somebody who came. He was probably one, you know, from the big yeshivas in Europe. Made his way to America. Gave his kaiches, you know, gave whatever he had. He probably got a lot of slack for it. I'm sure you heard what happened with RJJ when he introduced the plumber.
Sure,
you know, just a side story I once heard. I think his name is Rabbi Yaakov Savitsky from Flatbush. He told me a story once that Rabbi Yaakov Yosef was going around with one of his mashkichim, one of his gabbais, and they came into a butcher, and they got into a fight, and the butcher picked him up and locked him in the ice chest. When he finally got him out, he told Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, you know, no, don't worry, there's the Eshtemol, there's the Kasten, got kosher fleisch. It's the first time kosher meat was in this box, you know?
Wow. And so, no, everybody knows about the big meat scandal and what happened.
Right, and the same thing happened in Chicago, in Boston. They all had tremendous fights. So here is a guy, you know, he gave up his life. He probably had a nice position in Europe. He probably, it's a good chance he needed some extra money, so he came to the United States, and now there's no zecher of him other than my website. The Rav I was talking about in North Dakota, it's in Grand Forks, so it's I think 75 miles from Fargo. His name was Benjamin Peppermaster. So he has grandchildren all over the country, some from, some not from, but just think what it took to get to that area to... He was a Muslim from the Slabodki Yeshiva. To get to, you know, he came to New York, and then he ended up in South Dakota.
Exactly. So, what are the goals now? I mean, so you have got your website. You're doing some touring, some tours. What you want to just kind of keep going and doing it, or are there any specific goals?
Just before I answer, there's one other name that I really looked for. I just wanted to bring it up. His name was Rabbi Yaakov Geller. He was the Gabba for the Charkva Rebbe. But he came. He came to New York and then eventually ended up being a Rav in Galveston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think there's a Jewish community anymore in Galveston. If it is, it's not that large.
Right. No, there is a Jewish community in Galveston. But,
there is
right.
A small Jewish community.
Yeah, it's small. It's a small Jewish community. Well, look, you know, you're doing. I think you're doing Baruch. You're doing a great thing.
My goal is to really that people shouldn't forget. Here was Rabbanim who came to the United States. They gave all their kirchas. They gave their Yiddishkeit. They gave their families, and there's no real zech of them left. I don't want people to forget. The other thing is that people always need a place to daven. And obviously we're not going to have that discussion now about Davin Kivet Tzadikim, not Gavin Kivet Tzadikim. But not everybody can afford to go to Europe. Not everybody can afford to get to Israel. I know there are communities where part of the getting married process is to run to Eastern Europe. Not everybody could swing that check. Right here in your backyard, there's a cemetery in Brooklyn. It's called the Washington Cemetery. It's in between Borough Park and Flatbush. On any given day, thousands of Jews pass that cemetery. Big Rabbonim are buried in that cemetery. Go, stop, Davin. Hopefully, you know, your tools will be answered.
That's beautiful. So it's called Washington Cemetery. Fascinating, unbelievable. So how do people get in touch with you? If they want to get in touch with you, how do they
do that? All my contact information is on the website. My email address, my phone number.
Beautiful.
You know, the only thing, I try not to take phone calls at home. My wife doesn't like it.
I hear you.
But during the day, you call me, leave a message, I'll call you back, you know.
Beautiful. Well, listen, Baruch, I think you're doing a great, great, great service. I think it's a wonderful thing you're doing, and there's no question that, you know, you talk about davening by tzaddikim. There were great tzaddikim who lived here in this country, and many of them actually are forgotten. But you're kind of, it's in a way, it's like Tchias HaMesim. That's what you're doing. You're rediscovering them all over again, and people are coming. Listen, one more question. So I read about this in the forewords, which was kind of surprising. So how did that happen?
Right. So when the foreword originally contacted me, I said, what's the deal here? You guys are anti-Haredi. I'm a Haredi Jew. The project I'm doing is totally Haredi. Why do you want to do it? So I got on the phone with the editor. We spoke for hours. He told me, no, it's just for information. He admitted to me, yes, we have a anti-Haredi slant. That's our readership. That's what we do. But this is just for information, and it's not political at all. And then I went to my rebbe, and I asked him, what should I do? So he said, listen, if you're going to have some sort of tyrus enough from it, people are going to come to the website, then do it. But if not, then there's no reason for it. So I spoke to him. He promised me. Even, I don't know how much an editor's promise is worth, but he said, but you see, it came out pretty well. He said it won't have any negative slant to it. I'll verify everything with you over and over to make sure that it's only the truth. And that's what we agreed on. As long as it's the truth, we'll give it to him. And during the interview, I try to stay away from any areas that may bring out, let's say, areas of a lack of Chilul Shabbos or how kashrus was an issue, or all those issues that portray from Jews in a negative light.
Right, I hear you.
According to what was going on back then, I purposely and I worked hard to stay away from any of those topics so they can't be included in the article.
Fantastic. Well, listen, it's great, and it was a good article, and that's how I saw it. So listen, thank you so much, and we appreciate it. And good luck to you, okay?
Thank you for having me, and if you ever want a tour, please,
absolutely.
Pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks. Be well. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.